Tyler Goodson has played his final game in the black and gold. He will pursue the NFL draft in 2022. He will not play for the Hawkeyes next year. We talk all about that, as well as a few other topics like a potential landing spot for Tyrone Tracy and Tyler Linderbaum winning the Remington. Plenty on tap tonight. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in. And many of you are like, oh no, where's Drake? Just me and Kevin tonight. Oh, so glad half of you would stick around for that. And on Kevin's birthday, no less, welcome into 276 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Something like that. It's at some point, I think we just got to say welcome back. I don't think the episode matters as the number grows. But
I think the big number episodes get a shout out, maybe every 25 or something like that.
Sure. We just hit 270.
Everyone that ends in 69, you know.
Yeah, and nice, of course. 420. Those are important. 420 will get a big, you know, we'll all get super high for that one or something. 27 years old, Kevin Ward.
Ooh, dude. I don't like it.
How do we feel?
Feel old, man. Feel old.
Do you though?
Physically, no. Physically, I feel like I'm in phenomenal shape. Mentally, no. I mean, but just we've been out of college for what? Our last game will be like four years ago, coming up this month.
Yeah. Yep. 2017 January.
We're coming up on the stage of our life where we've been out of college for longer than we were in college.
Yeah. And I think that's the stage where I think what you're getting at probably is you've started to notice some weird things time frame wise, like I have. Like, we've now been, if you go back more than a decade, we were in high school more than a decade ago, right? 2009, yes. 2010.
Yeah.
That's more than a decade ago. We were in high school, right? So that's weird. College kids look like they're 12. And that's weird.
The freshmen and sophomores, no doubt.
Yeah. Some of these super seniors, they kind of look cool. You know, you got the Shudaks of the world out there. They're holding it down for the, you know, for the 39 looking year olds like me. But yeah, man.
But no, it is a weird stage of life, man. It's
closer to 30.
It's like, okay, the post college phase is definitely done.
Oh, it's
like
over.
You're a full blown adult. Your friends are having kids, multiple kids.
Ike's got two kids.
Friends, Bo's engaged. Me and Drake are the only ones not married or engaged in the friend group. It's like, dude, we're like by every metric, we're old.
We are relatively older, I suppose. Any wisdom for the people out there at 27? Anything you learned over the last year of your life that you felt really, really hit?
Any wisdom I learned over the past year of my life? No, I'm 27. I'm not
24. Do you get this? So this might just be me, and it's a little bit of my imposter syndrome that I do suffer from as far as professionally. And I have a really hard time trying to tell people knowledge, to teach people. I feel like when I come from a teaching voice or perspective, it feels wrong. And I don't know. I feel like, or, you know, like people, I see plenty of people our age who call themselves like an expert in something, right? That grinds me the wrong way a little bit. I mean,
there's stuff out there I feel qualified to teach a certain percentage of the population about.
Right. Sure.
I would, yeah. Are there some 27 year old savants out there that can be an expert in stuff? Yeah.
I agree. I guess it's probably just the nature of what the material is, because if someone said, all right, we need someone.
I'm an expert at making eggs, because I do that every day.
Yeah. If someone needs to coach a long snapping clinic, like, can we get someone who knows? I would feel ultimately comfortable with, you know, providing knowledge on long snapping to people. But that's about it for me, man. Like, that's podcasting, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I don't know anything about podcasting. You, I think you could put that on your resume.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, maybe. Let's figure out if we could do a little bit of that tonight. First of all, thanks for tuning in, everybody. What's great about this is it's, as Kevin said before we hit the record button, it's struggle for content season, but there's some content out there. We'll of course have guests coming on as well as we move through into the off season, but some happenings, obviously we talked about Tyrone Tracy in the transfer portal. He's already gotten significant interest.
Not surprising.
Not surprising at all. He's probably got to be one of the more appealing in the portal.
Does he have 2 years now with a COVID year? Or?
I believe so. Yes. I believe that is the case. So, I mean, that's really intriguing to a potential landing spot team, right?
Sure. You get a veteran guy who's played a lot of minutes in the Big Ten for sure.
Yeah. Especially for a guy that's got a few plays on film like Tyrone Tracy. Offers from Houston, Hawaii, Miami of Ohio, Eastern Illinois, and most notably and most recently, Purdue. I have to imagine there might be more than five, but people have a pretty good feeling that he's going to end up at Purdue.
Makes sense. He's from that area, right?
I believe he's from Indianapolis. Yeah. So now people are like ultimately scared that he's now the David Bell. And he's
now we're going to have to play him two more times.
He's going to haunt us over the next 2 years. What are the odds of that? I don't think he's as good as David Bell.
Is it possible he has a good game against us? For sure. Of course it is. Yeah. Of course that's possible. He's not David Bell caliber.
No, I don't think he is either. David Bell taller than him? Or is David Bell kind of short still?
I mean, he's not super tall, but I think he's taller than Tracy is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. It'll be interesting to see where he lands and how that plays out. Did you catch any of the Army-Navy game?
Yeah, I was able to catch the first half of it. And then I was unfortunately on a plane for the second half and caught the
You're an international traveler this weekend, right?
Just a national traveler.
Oh, okay. All right.
Was out in Jersey for the weekend.
17-13 Navy prevails.
Yeah. They were a 7-point underdog in this game, which is a huge spread for the Army Navy game.
Almost insurmountable.
Under hits again.
16 times in a row.
Is it really?
I just saw a stat yesterday that if you put $100 on the under in 2006
and you kept
rolling over your winnings over and over and over, you'd be at like some $100,000 or whatever by now.
That's awesome.
And
how do they not just like, I don't know how they still get money on people betting the over. Like, how is this line not in the 20s?
They've got to just set it at 25 one year and be like, fuck it. That's it.
I mean, 25 is not a guarantee to go over in that game.
17-13, you're looking at 30 points. I mean,
yeah, I know. I mean, they've had games in the past few years where it's like 6 inches of snow on the ground. And
oh, dude, some of the environments they played that game in are so sick.
I mean, it's always the last regular season game of the year, and they're always somewhere in like the Northeast.
They played this one at
MetLife.
Jersey. Ooh, cold, man. Cold. It's like the pinstripe.
It wasn't that bad that day.
I don't think it was horrible, but
it was like 40s. It wasn't terrible.
Did you catch any of this Bills Bucks game that just ended right before we started recording?
I did.
Holy shit.
The Bills made a little bit of a comeback, and then overtime, just long play for the touchdown. Yeah.
NFL's
great. It was a great game. It was actually the Cincy 49ers game.
Dude. And George Kittle.
Our man Jorge had
Jorge Kittle.
I don't know if you noticed in our Clash of Clans talk, whenever I talk to him, it's always Jorge.
Yeah, it's Jorge, which I have not been on Clash of Clans during the season. I've been holding off on it. But yeah, George now 6 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks. He had 150 plus yards today and 180 yards last week. People thought maybe maybe he's a little washed. Maybe he's with Kittle, it's the injuries, man. You got to have him on the field.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they ask him to do a lot, and stuff they ask him to do is going to get you beat up a little bit.
He's so athletic and just stupid strong.
He's
and
not stupid.
Stupid strong and stupid fast for his for just and the attitude he plays the game with just carries all of that. But yeah,
man, he's fun to watch. He had an awesome catch
right at the end of the fourth quarter.
Towards the end of regulation. Yeah,
and then I didn't see it, but did they fuck up and miss a field goal to win?
Yeah, it was like a mid 30 something yard field goal, and Robert misses it.
Dear God,
they give a field goal on the opening drive and then go down and score a touchdown.
Dude, the NFL is cool, man, because any team can win on any night. It's
I don't know if you've seen like the standings in the AFC. There's like 12 teams that can make the playoffs
that are like 7-6. Yeah,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah,
I think it's
the best team in the AFC is like 9-4. I think.
Yeah, I think it speaks to, honestly, why, like, just the argument of we need to make the playoff bigger in college. Like, it would be exciting.
It would be exciting, but
there's more parity in college.
There's way more parity in the NFL than there is in college football.
Okay, I said that.
Yeah, you take the best team in the NFL versus the 16th best team in the NFL, that's still going to be like a one-touchdown spread.
Right.
What's Iowa 15? You take Alabama versus Iowa, it's going to be a three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns, yeah. No, you're right. I don't know. I don't think we make it 16 teams, although I kind of feel like it gets there eventually.
When does it stop?
It'll get ruined.
Okay,
64. That's what I'm saying. Turn it into November madness, man.
Yeah. I know they have like a contract for it to be four teams through a certain year.
I think it was next year.
Really?
I thought so. Maybe not.
And then it's definitely getting expanded to
10.
I really don't want to see any bye weeks in it. I hope it's if it goes 8 or not 6 or 10 or 12 or whatever they're saying.
I don't know. 8 just seems so perfect, but what do we know, man? What do we know? Epi versus Werfs in that game, by the way, going against each other.
Yep, those two boys are good. Are pretty used to doing that.
They are making all the money. They're making so much more money than us.
Dude, can we talk about how much money Tristan's going to sign for in like 2 years?
Ooh.
I think I've said it on this podcast. I'll say it again. He's going to sign a record contract for an offensive lineman.
Yeah. No, when he signs, it's going to be the biggest.
Yeah, if he stays healthy, which I don't think he's ever dealt with injury problems.
No, I don't think he did at Iowa either. And man, wouldn't that be something though? Like, his injury's so random. I mean, you can do as much as you can to prevent it, right? Like all your prehab and all the, you know, mobility and recovering and all this stuff. But knowing that you could sign a record, I mean, he obviously still has to put in the work and all that, but that's just standard with being.
I mean, just the way he played his first 2 years in the league is incredible.
Yeah. I believe, unless he gave up one tonight, he has the current longest streak of plays without giving up even a quarterback pressure. It was
incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. So he probably got the best of Epi tonight just because he gets the best of everybody. And the Bills are like just the weirdest 7-5 team that you could ever have. Like, they're so good.
Yeah. They're really up and down so far this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't play really well in the first half. They had to come back to get it to go to overtime. And, you know, their defense is up and down. Their offense, it feels like they can never be on the same page. Their offense and defense for, like, the last couple months.
Yeah. Linderbaum, best center in the country.
I mean, old news.
Officially. Wins the Remington Trophy.
Yep.
Did not win the Outland Trophy. I don't like that trophy is up for both –
Defense. For both offense and defensive linemen. It's weird. It is a little weird, right?
I don't like that. Like, why does that make any sense? I mean, not that you're competing to, I don't think anybody sets out to like, I mean, I'm sure there's guys like Linderbaum who start their season. They're like, hey, a goal of mine is to win. But if you're competing against somebody who's on the other side of the ball and plays a whole different position than you, it's hard to like.
It's hard to, you know, what metrics do you use?
Right. Like, how am I supposed to be better than him? Right. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Someone who's a Outland Trophy voter, write into the show and tell us what how do you decide?
Yeah, I'm going to find I'm excited to have Lindy on the show, and I think this is where we go next with this. But what are the odds he stays?
not zero, but not very high either.
No,
he's graduated. He got his degree. I think he's the type of guy that loves Iowa football.
Yeah,
and loves being part of the program.
Brandon Scherff type.
Exactly, exactly. But he already, you know, Brandon Scherff came back for his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Linderbaum's already deferred. Like they were talking about him leaving last year.
Yeah,
he's already deferred 1 year. He's a first round pick, if not early second round pick. That's just incredible money to pass up. I don't know. I don't know.
I'll tell you this.
I would be surprised if he was an Iowa Hawkeye next year, but he's given everything that he needs to the program. He's been an awesome guy on and off the field, and a really vocal leader for them. So I think he's done more than enough for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah. From Tyler, it is an honor to be recognized with the Remington Trophy and to be the first Iowa Hawkeye to earn this honor. First Iowan. So, you know, we've had great linemen, but never the center, right?
Was James a finalist for that award or no?
I don't know. I would have to imagine he was at least a semi-finalist, like, or at least, you know, went deep into the voting.
Yeah, I don't think he went to the awards. I don't remember or not.
I don't either. I would like to thank my teammates, Coach Ferentz, Coach George Barnett as my position coach, and all the staff with Iowa football. I feel very fortunate to represent Iowa football and joining a long list of outstanding players who have previously earned this award. We have had a very enjoyable and successful season, and I look forward to preparing and competing in the Citrus Bowl with my coaches and teammates. Probably.
Hey, shout out for finishing the season, man, playing in the bowl game.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that here because the meat and potatoes of this episode is going to be your now former Hawkeye running back, Tyler Goodson. So you make sure that that's what I wanted to, yeah, basically. Oh, before we did that, I did want to recognize that Linderbaum, Campbell, and Moss were All-Americans on, I'm a dumbass, I didn't even write down who made them All-Americans. Those three were All-Americans for somebody. Campbell and Moss were second or third team, and Lindy was first team. Tyler Goodson, the running back from Suwanee, Georgia, who, man, it feels like we got cut. I mean, obviously, he's cutting his career short by 1 year. Feels like it got cut short even more because we started him halfway through his freshman season, not even halfway or past halfway. And then we got an 8-game season out of him in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
God, what could have been if he had 3 full seasons? A lot of reaction, mixed reaction from this on Twitter, of course, because we have the cesspool that is Twitter. I mean, this, some of the unreal shit. So the first one is like, one of the worst parts of being a college football fan, having to watch players move on after a few short years. Enjoyed meeting you and your dad earlier this year and definitely can tell where you inherited your personality. Best of luck and ball out. Great. Great response. The next response underneath that. So you're abandoning your Hawkeye teammates for the holy money. What does that say about being a Christian and about your sense of honor and loyalty? It doesn't say anything good about you for sure. I wish I could wish you luck in the draft, but you don't deserve it.
What the fuck?
This is like reading Apple reviews of the Washington walk-ons. Holy shit.
What the actual hell was that?
This guy is pissed.
Oh, man.
Of course, that guy got torn to shreds.
I mean, that's just such a weird thing to say to a 21-year-old kid.
I mean, I think it's like so interesting that these people – like, do these people think they're going to get a response out of him or that he gives a shit about them? Or it's interesting to me, the people who tweet at players. I don't know.
Good or bad or just bad?
Bad. I get the praise is cool, right? Like, that kind of makes sense. Like, oh, privileged to watch you. I'm so excited for you. All this stuff. Thanks for being a Hawkeye. But when you tweet negatively and you say stuff like that, it creates this level of this person now behind this account is talking or responding to the player as if the player owes them something. It's really weird. And I don't know, maybe it's just the emotional reaction again, that goes with some of those bad emotional reactions after games and stuff, but it's just like, it's embarrassing, man. Like, if you're one of those people, it's embarrassing.
Do you think it makes them feel good? Like, is that,
that's what I'm saying. Is like, after he
make you feel good
after he hits send, does he like sit back and go,
got him?
shit all over Tyler Goodson today. My day is complete, man. I'm gonna have a beer. Like I feel good about myself. I don't know.
It's possible. It's just a troll.
Could be. Could be.
Troll job, which is more and more common these days. Which is why Twitter is accessible. Makes for some funny content, but
it does. The announcement from T-Good came on December 10th, so that would have been on Friday. Hawkeye Nation, first and foremost, I want to thank God for the blessings he's bestowed upon me and my family. Coming to Iowa is one of the best decisions of my life, and I've enjoyed every moment as a Hawkeye. Thank you to the entire coaching staff and the guidance during my time at Iowa. You guys have pushed me to my limits, and I'm grateful for everything you've done for me. To my teammates, thank you for all the memories on and off the field. I consider all of you brothers and will forever cherish the times we shared. With that being said, I have decided to forego playing in the bowl game to begin prep for the 2022 draft. Similar to a lot of young kids growing up, I have always dreamed of the opportunity to play in the NFL, and I am beyond grateful at the time this is quickly approaching. I will forever consider myself a Hawkeye and look forward to making my family, friends, and Hawkeye Nation proud at the next level. This seemed sooner than most people announced this, kind of. I don't know. Maybe not. I guess if you're... I mean, he definitely.
Really. I think it just probably feels that way because we had an extra game this year.
You're probably right. Yeah.
Because they're probably going to start bull prep practice, like, you know, this week.
Right.
And he's like, fuck that. I don't want to go to practice. I got to get this announcement out there.
If I don't declare for the draft right now, I got
9-on-7 on Monday. I'm like, I don't know about that.
There's a special teams meeting at 6:15 on Monday morning. That's. And I get it, man. I don't think
that's in the cards for old T.
I just think it's best for me to probably call it a career. No, you know, great for Tyler. I fully understand how this works. I have no ill will or whatever against him. I do find it interesting, and I want to, you know, kind of break down his specific situation. He is the second player. Noah Fant being the first in 2019, I believe it was 19, to forego the bowl game under KF. Those are the only two who have foregone the bowl game. Declaring for the NFL draft.
2018.
Declaring for the NFL draft doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to, that you're out of the bowl game, right? You'll see a lot of guys who declare and say, I'm
yeah, like Matt Corral a couple of years or weeks ago for Ole Miss, like said, like this was going to be his senior day or whatever. Like,
right.
He could have come back, but he's like, no, see, this is my last year.
Right. A lot of guys are like, hey, this is going to be my last year. Can't wait to fight for a bowl win, you know, on New Year's Day or whatever with my boys and then pursue the next level. Goodson, pretty candidly, and this seems like something that was, it feels like this was sort of, you know, he's known this for a while. There was no back and forth. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised. Are you surprised?
I wouldn't say surprised, no. I do question if that's the best thing for him,
though. Yeah, and that's what I want to get into. And again, two fucking washed up special teams guys who played, you know, 4 years ago. We talked about how old we are at the start of the podcast. It really doesn't matter what we think on the microphone.
It doesn't matter at all what we think. It matters what the... with the scouts and GMs and coaches at the National Football League
thing. Right. And so Tyler, hopefully you don't listen to this because trash podcast, but if you do, hey man, our opinions don't mean shit. But to the people that they do mean something to, which is the washed up walk-ons army and the beautiful listeners that come back to the show every day, we do know that you want to hear our opinions on this. So here is what I'll say. Let's first look at, you know, Tyler. He came in 19 and took over that Minnesota game. Last year, he was first team all Big Ten in 2020 through eight games. He ran for 600 and some yards and seven touchdowns. And then third team Big Ten this year in 21 ran for almost 1,200, which was the 10th best single season in Iowa history. That's a big time stat. And actually finishes total yardage in his three seasons as the 10th all time as well. So those are top 10.
It's a pretty solid career for, I mean, how many games? 6, 14, you know, 20 something games.
Not even 30 games.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I think that Tyler is a really good running back. I think that this year, I mean, man, he ran, the fact that he ran for 1,100 plus yards behind this struggling offensive line on this offense, right? That's impressive. And I think it speaks to his ability, and who knows, put him behind an offensive line like Michigan's, or, you know, somebody, you know, Haskins at Michigan had, you know, a little bit better of a time finding open holes, right? What could Tyler Goodson have been? And I think that's what Hawkeye fans are salty about. And you know, the what if is always going to be there, right? Because next year we look ahead, Kev, and you think, okay, sure, Lindy's probably going to go get that bag. But let's say we just have a satisfactory guy step in at center, and then every other position elevates from where we are this year, a whole bowl prep, a whole spring, a whole summer and fall camp. Goodson had a arguably pretty decent chance to be running on a nice little offense next year.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, it's like Kyler Schatz graduating.
Yeah.
Lindy's probably leaving. The rest of the offense is coming back.
Everybody. Receivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quarterback, whoever we go with at quarterback is going to have experience.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, I think we talked about earlier in the season, you know, does Tyler Goodson, does he leave? We were kind of questioning, like, does he have the season that he wants to have? But he really did end up having a sneaky good year.
Sneaky good. I think
about how many yards he has, you know, he was our guy in the offense.
I tried to find some like big boards, running back draft rankings sort of thing. I saw him as high as 12th on, okay, on one of them. Several others, you know, you got to scroll down to, you know, he's rounding out the top 20. I went back and looked at the last 3 years of NFL drafts, 19, 20, and 21. This past year, there were 18 running backs drafted. The year before, there were 19 running backs drafted. And in 19, there were 23 running backs drafted.
Okay. Yep.
So you're right, looking at right around that 20 number.
Yeah. And it's a position that's not getting a whole lot of respect in the league right now.
Not a whole lot. It's not, you know, this
you got,
isn't,
you got, you're like your first round guys, and there's a couple of them every year. After that, like, it really drops off.
This
like,
isn't
people, people aren't spending too many second, third round picks on running backs.
No, this isn't your 2010 NFL, right? When we were in high school, like, the running back was the feature, right? AP, you know, like that. That's who I immediately think back to. So it's interesting. He's betting on himself. Usually during this time, you would send in your stuff to the NFL advisory committee, right? Kind of.
Yeah. And you'd go get a draft grade back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That probably hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I didn't think it had either.
Yeah.
Because you want,
I
mean, like,
it could have. I know it happens in December sometimes.
So, you know, and I'm no draft guru by any means, but I really feel like, you know, Tyler Goodson, say that that 12th ranking is where he goes. The 12th running back off the board in those 3 years all happened right around the end of the fourth, start of the fifth round.
Yeah.
So I think that's Tyler's ceiling here in this draft. And
yeah. And, well, minimum wage has gone up in the NFL.
It has.
So it's some real money. And there's a couple other factors you got to talk about. It's like, can he improve his draft stock next year? Do you think, just based off having a better offensive line, or has he shown everything in college he's needed to?
Is that theoretical? Or are you asking me that?
I'm asking you. I running back is one of those positions where I don't know if the risk return of another season is worth it.
Is worth it?
Yeah.
Man,
there's other positions like offensive, defensive line, linebacker, quarterback, you know, defensive back, yes, maybe. But running back, I don't know if you need another year of college right. development. You know?
No, I understand what you're saying, because you're saying you kind of show, you know, you're basically your highlight tape.
Are you physically developed? Yes. Have you shown all the skills that you have, you know, pass blocking, pass catching, running in between tackles, running outside the tackles, making guys make some space, and then straightaway speed? Do you feel like you can improve on any or all of those metrics
right
enough to warrant you coming back another year, losing out on a potential year of an NFL salary that will be then be greater next year to make up for that, you know?
Yeah. With Tyler, I think the two things that he definitely could come back next year and be better at are blocking in the pass game.
Yep.
Which is big in the NFL.
Yep.
And two, I think this year, and this is hard to judge. This is one of those things where it's like, well, if you have a better O-line, what does this look like? He was very indecisive this year.
Yeah. And that could probably be something to do with the offense.
It was something, it was definitely partially in part to the offensive line, you know, and do you really tell a guy
like he would start to try to look like dance around, maybe try to bounce it instead of sticking his head in a gap. But, you know, there was a lot of times where he just went ahead and said, screw it. I see a little gap. I'm going to go for it. And that gap closes
right
like that.
So do you tell a guy, hey,
sustaining blocks this year?
Yeah. Do you tell a guy, hey, come back next year and just hit the hole hard so you look more decisive? Or do you like tell the guy, hey, if you go to the league and you make those same kind of, you know, bouncy decisions, those holes are going to stay open longer. There's a better chance you hit those things, right? Like, so he's not a big guy. You know, he's a he's 5'10". I'd call him 205. You know, he's muscular. Man, it was funny. It was fun to look. It was fun and eye-opening to look down those lists of running backs drafted in the past 3 years. Not a lot of them you recognize. Man, it's tough going.
Yeah, it's honestly like the toughest position in the league, I'd say. As far as like sticking around.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like 2.5 years in the league and, you know, you haven't done a whole lot, probably going to start looking at the next guys coming in because you get a lot more expensive after that third year.
Yeah. I personally, again, this is the long snapper's opinion. I personally think that there was enough for Tyler Goodson to come back and improve on while also considering what the offense could be next year for the Iowa Hawkeyes, that I think he could have actually significantly improved his draft stock and in his potential earning, right? I think he could have come back and been a no doubt top 10 back, right? A third rounder, maybe a second rounder if you have a great year, right?
Yeah, and the difference between a signing a second and third round contract and a fifth round contract
huge
is worth coming back for the extra year of college. You will make more money that way.
I think CJ signed a signing bonus, and this was 5 years ago.
This is before the new CBO, yeah.
In the third round, CJ signed for like $700,000 or $800,000 on a signing bonus. Yeah. Last year, that guy who was like the 12th running back taken in the late fourth round, he signed for $300,000 signing bonus. I mean, that's $500,000, right? That's just, you know, come back, improve your pass blocking, you know, solidify yourself as a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's another form of betting on yourself, betting on your teammates.
Too. True.
Versus betting on yourself now or betting on yourself in the long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's one thing I think is going to make it easier for college kids to stick around is NIL.
Oh, I didn't even make
significant amounts of money while still in college.
Wow. I did not. Great point, Kevin.
So that is one reason why I think it might be worth him to stick around another year, because he can probably still make good chunk of change, you know,
six figures.
Yeah, I have no idea what anyone from the team's made this year, but you know,
be interesting.
Linderbaum raised $30,000 in a week or something
on his on his own merch. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. You know, I know Tyler's had several autograph signings and stuff like that. I'm sure he's walked out of there with a nice wad of cash.
Yeah, I guarantee he's made at least five figures.
You know, he's on that Carlos O'Kelly's commercial.
Yeah, I've got some intel that was a 5K gig for that.
I mean, it sounds about right. It probably took him a half hour.
Right. So,
yeah. You know, I mean, if you wanted to, I think a whole year of NIL, Tyler could make $100,000.
Yeah. Tyler's the kind of guy that can make six figures on it for sure.
Sure, sure. So you kind of offset that versus his first year NFL salary. You come back and you improve it. Strictly monetary decision, it would take some, and I'm sure this kid's thought about it. I'm sure he's talking about
guaranteed
family and everything, but me and my myself in his situation, I'm kind of leaning towards coming back.
I agree. Nonetheless, he's going to go take his chance, and you know, more power to him. It would be freaking amazing to see an Iowa running back succeed in the NFL. I think the last one that has done it was Sean Green a little bit. I don't know if you call that success.
Didn't have a great career.
Right. I think he played a little bit for the Jets and the Titans.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough going. And
I got Mekhi Sardin still bouncing around, right?
Yeah, I think he is. I think you're right. So, and
they honestly remind me a lot of each other.
True.
Tyler is a better version of Mekhi Sardin.
Yeah, he's a little bit more shifty, still quick, and yeah, body type.
The same body frame.
Do you think this played a role into, you know, maybe he made this decision or was thinking about this throughout the year, knowing he had a shaky line in front of him? This was asked by several people. You think this played into his running on a few plays this year? You know, maybe did it enter his mind? Like, I don't know if I want to get hurt. I don't know.
I don't think so. And I don't want to believe it.
Okay. I don't think I highly doubt it as well.
That would make me puked even.
That's where stuff gets a little bit like,
and I can't remember any run at all. And off the top of my head,
sure,
like, you know, he's looking like he's not looking to get hit this this run. So I don't put any weight behind that.
I don't know if because I did not have this sense of financial sort of, I don't know how he views the NFL. If he thinks that's going to be his thing, or he's really betting on himself, like, I'm going to be a 10 year back. Like, I'm going to be one of those guys. Maybe he thinks that, or
10 year backs,
right? Like,
I'm
going to be Frank Gore or something. I don't know what he views his NFL career as, or how he views money, finances, all that stuff. Knowing that you can just go, like, he'll probably get drafted late, right? He'll probably, at least for a year or two, make league minimum 500 grand or whatever it is, 600 grand.
Like 700 now.
Is it 700?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good for them. Is inflation transitive? I don't know.
probably not.
So, you know, knowing that, maybe, dude, I like the way that I now view finances as an adult is like, if you can get to a certain amount of money,
it's 660 now.
Good for them. Like, let's call it an arbitrary $1 million, right? That's probably low nowadays. A million isn't what it used to be. But let's call it $1 million in the account, right? The investment account. You know, they're going to take home 350, 400 from that 660. And unless you're living in Tennessee or where else, Texas.
Florida. But it doesn't matter because you get taxed on what state you play in, which is kind of bullshit.
Which is weird, dude. So weird.
So weird, right?
So you hope you play the Texans and...
I think we figured it out. You want to play in the AFC South.
Yes.
You play Tennessee, Houston, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Indianapolis. Tax-friendly states.
Yeah. So say you can, like, you know, and this is even a long shot because it's not for long, NFL. I think average career is 2.8 years or something. Say you get 3 years of salary, right? You can at least be on an active roster for three seasons. Not only do you get your pension, but you also, you know, if you're smart with your money, you can maybe bank $1 million in those 3 years. If you're really smart, you have a few endorsements. You know,
yeah, because yeah, you're gonna make more every year,
right? It increases.
Okay. So
once you get to $1 million,
you'd have to live smart, I think, to have $1 million saved away after those 3 years.
For sure, and it's very, very tough for NFL players to live smart because
you got these assholes.
Because you got assholes like
white Santa Christmas presents,
$1,000 minimum,
and if you have the worst gift, that. What was it? You have to.
There's a $1,000 penalty.
Yeah, $1,000 penalty for the person that gives the worst gift.
Not to mention, I saw on AJ Epines's Snapchat about 2 weeks ago, he took the D line out for dinner, and it was a $16,000 bill.
Jesus. Yeah.
So that's the kind of shit that you get yourself into.
Yeah.
But if you can stick $1 million in the bank, really not the bank, you stick $1 million in an investment account or
how do you spend $16,000 on a dinner?
I was trying to look at the receipt and find out. I could not figure it out. I think it was expensive. liquor.
I mean, what? There's got to be eight guys on the Bills.
Yeah, maybe. Right, which maybe was $2,000 for food, maybe.
Yeah, there had to be some really nice wines in there.
So yeah,
they're pouring some Pappy Van Winkle.
So you stick, you get $1 million in 3 years, and you stick that in the investment account, and now you know that makes 8% a year. Like now, and now you feel good. Like is that the plan? Like I can pull that 80, you know, the 4% rule. I can live off of the investment here. It's going to spit me out 80 to 100 grand a year. And that's what I live on. Is that the goal? Like that's what I'm banking on? Or I don't know what Tyler Goodson's thinking, but
I don't think there's anyone in their life that plans to retire at 24.
Oh no. Just as a security net, like, hey, I was able to do this with my NFL ability and football skill. And you know what? I'll go find a job. I'm going to go do something, but I've got this, you know, $1 million security net. That's just,
yeah. So I mean, say that's the situation. It gives you the freedom to go find a job you actually like.
Right.
Job that gives you a nice work life balance.
Yep.
So you don't have to, you know,
work like work you
long hours for money or work weekends and holidays, like my dumbass and stuff like that.
Be on call on Sundays.
Right. You know, exactly.
For grandmas who slip and fall on the ice. Yeah, man, it's interesting. I mean, it's, again, it's betting on yourself. We knew that, you know, kind of from the beginning, Goodson was going to be one of those guys, but it's interesting stuff. We're now left with, as we look forward, Gavin Williams, who has
he's shown some real promise being a really good back.
Absolutely. And you know what he did more so than Goodson was he hit the hole hard. Yes, not a lot. And this will probably swing back the other way, because I know for a fact next year in Kinnick Stadium, there's going to be like, oh, Gavin, just hold up 1 second and let the hole develop, right? There's going to be a couple of those plays. But, you know, he showed some real promise. He ran for 10 carries and 41 yards against Northwestern, 10 carries, 56 yards against Illinois, and 12 carries, 56 yards in the Big Ten Championship against Michigan. So, you know, I think we're in good hands. And the interesting thing, Kev, is we're going to get to see him at. I mean, he's the guy now.
He's going to be the premier back,
and it's
we're also going to get to see Ivo finish out his career.
Yep,
in Orlando too. So
Gavin is Showtime. It's Gavin Showtime Williams in Orlando. So yep. It'll be really interesting to kind of see where that goes, and maybe we see the young kid too, LaShawn Williams, kid from Chicago. So. You know, I have high hopes. I don't worry at all about next year's offense lacking because of running back productivity.
No, I feel really good about Gavin Williams being the guy going.
Absolutely. Forward. Absolutely. And I think they feel good about the guys even behind him. So we wish Tyler the best, and hopefully he impresses. Hopefully he's able to use this time. You know, he's now that he's made the decision, he can put every effort he can for the next 3, 4, 5 months into raising that draft stock.
Yeah. So here's the thing though, is like for the guys that leave early, I don't think you really need that much time to prepare for a combine.
I agree.
So
I think it could be detrimental.
You're the only thing in skipping the bowl game is you're not risking the chance of getting hurt.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I don't think you need the extra, 3 weeks right now to prepare for the combine. You can prepare for that in 2 months.
Either. What are you going to get done? Right. Yeah. I agree. I think it's an injury prevention thing. And then you can have the conversation of, okay, are you, you've played 26 games or whatever Tyler's played. Are you going to get hurt in this bowl game? Like, is this going to be the one where you get hurt? And in his case, even if he did get hurt, it's like, all right, screw it. Well, I'm coming back next year and I'll improve my stock. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's happened to some people. It's not likely, but it's happened to guys out there.
Obviously, first Noah was the first one to forgo the bowl game, and now we have Tyler. Lindy, on the other hand, he's going to play. So you've got two sides of the coin. Either way, as a listener, as the host of this podcast, as Kevin and I and Drake sit here, you have to respect the guy's decision. And if you don't, then you're a Yahoo because you're not in their position, right? None of us have any real.
I don't think you have to respect anything. you have to accept it.
Or sure, you have to accept the decision, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if you let that
do about it, but
yeah,
you can respect, disrespect anything you like. This is America, baby.
I suppose that's true. I would suggest you don't openly disrespect the decision, because it's it looks bad on you to judge others who have completely different situations that you are not a part of. But nonetheless, man, I hope he goes and gets money, and I hope he does well in the league and finds a little spot for himself. But
and guess what? Maybe we can have him on the podcast this spring.
And in our own selfish interest, that means that he is now done as a Hawkeye, and we can reach.
He is now eligible to be a washed up Hawkeye.
He is now, his eligibility has now started for a guest appearance on the show. And that will be very, very exciting. There will be plenty to talk about with T-Good. And we definitely plan on reaching out, and hopefully he wants to come on. So that was your Drakeless episode 276. I think I'm going to title this one "Goodson is Gone, Son," because why wouldn't you use the alliteration and the clickbait? And Kev, I thank you for joining me on your birthday.
Oh, no place I'd rather spend my 27th year on this godforsaken planet
than on a Zoom call with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there any before we go? Is there any best presents you got this year?
The girlfriend gave me combined birthday Christmas present, a pellet grill.
Wow.
Yeah.
A pellet exciting. Grill from the girlfriend.
Yeah. Elite gift, honestly.
You're going to use the shit out of that. I know that.
Oh.
You got to cook all that meat we were talking about.
Yeah, boys. Just got a little care package. So we got some meat to cook.
I'm excited for you. If you want to hear more from the Washed Up Walk-Ons, patreon.com/washedupwalkon for more content, extra episode each week, discounts on the merch when we have it out, and a whole lot more. Thanks for joining us. 276. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.